Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Got a lot to get to on our program coming up here on the show today. We are going to talk markets with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. He is going to join us after the bottom of the hour. We have rising tensions between Israel and Iran, with Israel striking inside Iran overnight into Friday. So we're going to talk about that. Are there any market implications we have to watch there? That is coming up here a little bit later on in the show today. Also coming up here on AOA, we're going to have a conversation with Kim Brackett and Sky Krebs. Kim is the NCBA Policy Division Chair. Sky is the Policy Division Vice Chair with NCBA. We're going to talk about some public lands type of issues and more discussions that they have been having this week with their spring legislative conference in D.C. with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. So looking forward to that. And also coming up at the end of the show, I'm going to have some thoughts on a lot of the tension on Capitol Hill this week regarding trade and more. All that is coming up here on AOA today, brought to you by CenX. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. CenX Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium diesel to keep you going. Learn more at CenX.com. Joining us now to kick off the program, DTN Ag Policy Editor Chris Clayton is with us. Chris, welcome back to AOA. Thanks so much for the time. Hope you're doing well. Chris, are you there with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you now, Chris, and thanks for the time. Hope you're doing well. Appreciate it. I mentioned this. I'm going to talk a little bit later in the show. I got some of the audio from the various hearings this week on Capitol Hill regarding trade with Ambassador Katherine Tai, and a lot of pushback from senators and members of the House here this week. And I know you've been talking about that a little bit as well in articles on the DTN website. Summarizes for us what has been some of the pushback from some of those hearings with the House Ways and Means Committee and the Senate side, the Finance Committee, here this past week, Chris?
Well, you know, the pushback is really that the Biden administration has not negotiated any, sought to negotiate any real free trade agreements in its 4 years in Congress in office. And what the congressmen don't tell you is that in those 4 years, Congress also never approved any trade promotion authority for the Biden administration to go seek a particular trade agreement with anybody. So, you know, it's another music wonderful game of getting in front of cameras, you know, to try to make a point for your constituents.
Yeah, it's kind of that back and forth. There's two sides to every story out there, no doubt. And I think the trade issues adds on to a lot of the other issues back and forth regarding a farm bill. There's been plenty of discussion about that. I know House Ag Chair G.T. Thompson said he wants to have something out of his committee by Memorial Day. You know, could we have a summer farm bill yet ahead of the presidential election? Chris, what's the latest you're hearing on the farm bill right now?
Well, it's interesting. Both Republicans and Democrats, you know, on the committee all tell you they want to get a farm bill done. And they're very insistent about that. Behind the scenes, maybe some of them will also maybe might tell you that maybe they don't really want to completely get a farm bill done because they do want to see how the election plays out. But Chairman Thompson put out what looks like a proposal, and he seems pretty confident that constituents in the farm bill are going to like it, that he's going to be taking away some of the projected growth and SNAP spending, it sounds like, and moving that into helping boost the trade title, helping boost the research title, helping boost the commodity and crop insurance and conservation, and then, you know, see how Democrats basically react to that. He does know he needs Democratic support to get a farm bill, because there are, you know, there's just a section of Republicans that are not going to vote for a $1.5 trillion authorization bill right now. And so he's going to put this proposal out there. He's going to maybe hold a markup in May. And you know, if anything, he's going to inject some excitement back into the conversation about a farm bill. So we'll see how it goes from there.
Yeah. And I know, too, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, he spoke Monday to the North American Agricultural Journalists annual meeting, and he had plenty to say on a number of issues, from the GREET model to China to HBAI, but also, you know, thinking about the budget, and he's talked about the farm bill as well. And I know he's brought up a lot of there's been a lot of back and forth about the use of commodity credit corporation funds and things like that. So there's some, maybe a little squabbling there between the Ag Secretary and some members, especially on the GOP side on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, a lot of this really has to do with, you know, the appropriations situation, and maybe not so much, you know, the farm bill. You know, I think if in the farm bill, it's more aligned that, you know, GT actually sees some possibility of using some CCC funding. Thompson mentioned, you know, that Vilsack is the one that told him that there's $2 to $4 billion every year that kind of sits out there that is not used. And so, you know, from that side of things, the Thompson might be more in line with what Vilsack is interested in looking at than the Appropriations Committee, which might, which, you know, hurt USDA this year in the way that they waited 7 months, and then the bill has some cuts that had to be implemented. We've seen that with, you know, this grumbling about the NASH reports that are being dropped. You know, a lot of it had to do with the fact that, you know, they didn't fund any pay raises, basically, at USDA. And USDA had to figure out how to come up with the money somewhere. So that's kind of a difference almost within committees, between the two committees in the House on how they're looking at things right now with USDA. So so always just fascinating dynamics kind of going on there. So
yeah, no, I would agree, Chris. A lot of dynamics, a lot of personalities, of course, and you know, getting a farm bill done, as we both know, it's no easy task. It's always a bit of a heavy lift to try and get a farm bill done every 5 years. And hopefully we can get something done sooner than later. I know folks can read your articles and more, dtnpf.com. With that, Chris Clayton, DTN Ag Policy Editor. Chris, thanks for joining us on AOA. Really appreciate it. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
Chris Clayton, DTN Ag Policy Editor, joining us here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Not all grease created equal. Cenex Premium Grease is made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll talk with Kim Brackett and Sky Krebs from the NCBA on the way next here on AOA. Every Tuesday, we're sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS, where we'll be talking with folks from throughout the cooperative system. Join us as we discover what makes cooperatives unique when there are more options to do business than ever before. We'll learn how farmers and ranchers like you benefit from a system where decisions are made by the members that own it. Tune in every Tuesday for Around the Table, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Agriculture of America, AOA, brought to you by our friends at Cenex, their premium diesels and premium lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location or learn more online at cenex.com. Well, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association is having their legislative conference this week in Washington, D.C., and we want to talk about some of the various issues that I'm sure, no doubt, will be talked about during that legislative conference. Here joining us for a conversation today, first, she is the NCBA Policy Division Chair from Idaho, Kim Brackett. Kim, thanks for joining us here on AOA today.
Oh, thanks, Jesse. It's great to be here.
And also joining her, Sky Krebs, NCBA Policy Division Vice Chair from Oregon. Sky, thank you for joining us here today as well on AOA.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, let's dive in. Both of you are in the West, and I think that's a good place for us to start here. We've had a lot of talk about some of the challenges between environmental groups and animal rights groups, looking at predators getting reintroduced into rural areas, some of the public lands, grazing challenges, things like that. So maybe let's start our conversation there and work our way from the West to the East to D.C. Talk to me about some of your thoughts about some of these challenges that you guys are facing with Western lands, predators being reintroduced, et cetera. Whoever wants to go first on that one.
Well, I'll take the lead on that one. We deal with the numerous predators on public lands. Obviously the wolf was reintroduced, and it turned out that it was a huge success if you really wanted under the Endangered Species Act. So now that it's been recovered, it needs to be delisted. But we're hung up. They don't want to delist it. So they're still under federal control when they should be under more state control. And they should chalk it up for a win. They got what they wanted. We're learning how to deal with it. We don't like it, but that's the way it is. And they need to take it and move on and get these species managed so we don't continue to have these conflicts.
Well, as I think about this, you know, you mentioned the wolf. There's talk of reintroducing grizzly bears into the Northern Cascades. I mean, it's one thing, and I know too, things like sage grouse, lesser prairie chicken. I mean, it's one thing that we want to make sure some of these animals are protected, but also they could be predators on a ranching operation, can't they?
Oh, for sure. The grizzly bear into the Northern Cascades is a huge issue up there. The state doesn't want them. The rural populations don't want them. It's more of a DC down approach. They're going to introduce these apex predators into a system that haven't had them. And what you get from that, you get a disbursement of the prey animals. The moose in northern Idaho has been wiped out by the wolf population. You're getting these elk herds dispersed out into lowlands where they've never had them before. A lot of them on private ground. So there's a whole lot more issues just in reintroducing a species and thinking life goes on as normal. There's huge changes in use of riparian areas and things like that. And the fact that we have to feed them as ranchers, and they talk about compensation, but the compensation is pretty minimal to the actual cost. And who wants to be compensated for a dead animal? We'd rather have our animals taken care of than have to be prey for these reintroduced species that nobody asked us if we wanted them.
Well, and there's a lot of, with these reintroductions of species, there's a lot of different regulations and things like that. Environmental groups are pushing for more listings. And Kim, when thinking about this and some of the limiting of rancher involvement on rangeland, talk about how that could harm the same species that some of these groups are trying to protect.
Well, that's a great question, Jesse. You mentioned sage grouse a little bit ago, and I'm right in the heart of sage grouse country. And it's so frustrating when you see all of the activists trying to get involved in this sage grouse issue, and they don't really understand what we do as cattle producers to help manage sage grouse habitat. You know, there's recent science that's been released that talks about the beneficial relationship between cattle grazing and sage grouse habitat. When you look at all of the work that we do as producers out on those rangelands, whether it's providing salt and providing water for wildlife habitat, whether it's increasing migratory corridors, whether it's using grazing strategically to reduce invasive species such as cheatgrass and remove those fine fuel loads out there, which we're all hoping to avoid catastrophic wildlife or wildfire, which is really one of the biggest threats to sage grouse. So I think just a lack of understanding of how we can all work together to help protect the sage grouse population is a big frustration for us.
Well, and Kim, let's stay with you for a second here. Maybe you could talk about some of the other big challenges on your operation and things you face, you know, when it comes to dealing with ESA listings and other regulations out there that maybe affect, you know, public lands, grazing, et cetera. I mean, give us a perspective from your operation on some of these challenges.
Well, specifically on that, it is incredibly frustrating the amount of time that my husband and I have to take away from the ranch, take away from taking care of our cattle and taking care of the land to deal with all of the red tape that comes with any of this overregulation that we feel comes from DC to us. And it's also frustrating because it appears from where we're sitting that a lot of the decisions that are made are emotion-based, that they don't take the science into account. So when you're not using fact-based science to make these decisions, it just is incredibly frustrating for us as producers.
Well, and thinking of all the various regulation that's out there that impacts farmers and ranchers, I think maybe some of that speaks to this growing divide between urban and rural America. It feels like that's something that has grown over the last few years. And I'd love for both of you to maybe share some thoughts on that and how that impacts you as a rancher and how that impacts your fellow ranchers, just some of this growing divide between urban and rural America.
Jesse, I think that is one of the biggest challenges that we face in agriculture and specifically in the cattle industry. And it really comes down to what you mentioned earlier, that so many of the decision makers, especially here in DC, are so far removed from agriculture, right? They don't really understand how their food is grown and raised. And so they question it. They want to know. They want it to be verified. And that divide right there between urban consumers and rural producers is incredibly challenging. It's frustrating. frustrating for me as a producer when folks don't understand that my job every day is to take the best possible care of my animals, the best possible care of my land. That's my business. That's what I do. And just the lack of understanding, I think, is incredibly frustrating. And it leads to that overregulation that we were just talking about in so many areas, whether it's public lands, whether it's checkoff issues, whether it's marketing issues. It really impacts what we do on a daily basis.
Yeah, Scott, your thoughts on that? Go ahead. Yeah.
I'd like to add on to that. You know, most of these, a lot of the ranches there are multi-generational. And currently, the urban-rural divide to me is the attack on private property. Nobody respects private property anymore. All of a sudden, we've got motorcycle recreationists showing up. And if they see a huge expanse, they just think it's wide open. They can go out there and use it. They don't realize that that's private property. And legislatures, you know, they're trying to dictate how we manage on these properties. So the fact that private property is no longer respected, that somebody else can tell us how to manage our own property, is very disconcerting.
Well, I think tied in with that as well, and some of that misunderstanding and that divide between rural and urban culture could maybe speak to some of the challenges we're seeing in terms of the attacks against the checkoffs. I would have to think, Kim, you had a lot of work with the beef checkoff, and talk about that a little bit for us. Do you feel like that maybe that's part of some of the issue here, is just the misunderstanding of how things like the checkoff work?
Well, I don't know for sure if that's an urban-rural divide or not, but there's definitely attacks against the checkoff. It brings to mind the OFF Act that we're dealing with here in D.C., and it's fascinating to me that we have activists who are trying to eliminate the checkoff. What that tells me is they must see the value. They must see the good work that's being done by our checkoff dollars to grow demand both domestically and abroad. And I think we need to remember that the activists are not trying to improve our checkoff, right? They're not trying to make it more efficient or make it work better for producers. They're trying to put us out of business. They're trying to end livestock production. So I think the checkoff one is really a really complicated issue, but we need to remember it is effective. It's producer funded, it's producer led, and we need to continue to support it going forward.
Sky, your thoughts on the checkoff and some of the attacks against the checkoff that we've been facing here in recent years?
Well, I think Kim nailed it. It's an effective tool that's been proven to show its value to the producer. And I think the activists that want to end livestock grazing are going after that, because it's another way they can get us removed from the public lands or from raising livestock.
All right. Well, we covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time. We're up against the clock, though, with that. Kim Brackett, NCBA Policy Division Chair. Sky Krebs, NCBA Policy Division Vice Chair. Thank you both for joining us here on AOA today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. Up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Learn more at Cenex.com. Markets with Arlen Suderman from StoneX right after this.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with this check at market information from the American Ag Network. For corn, there are rumors on social media that the Environmental Protection Agency may be about to approve the sales of E15 this summer. If so, that would give a helpful boost to ethanol demand at a time when U.S. corn supplies are available nationally, but not necessarily everywhere regionally. So far, farm storage has been high while producers wait for a higher price. Friday morning, USDA reported private export sales of 216,500 metric tons of corn to Mexico. Of that total, 23,000 metric tons is for delivery during the 2023-24 marketing year, and 193,500 metric tons is for delivery during the 24-25 marketing year. In spite of active corn demand in the U.S., December corn prices remain pressured by larger supplies in 2023-24 and the slow harvest of Argentina's corn crop. Soybeans, it's been a tough week for November beans, falling to new one-month lows while two big harvests make progress in South America. Brazil's soybean harvest is probably more than 90% complete. Argentina, though, is struggling with wet conditions. In the U.S., planting remained limited to central and southern states, while northern soybean states had a week of beneficial precipitation, followed by colder temperatures that will last through the weekend. Kansas City wheat prices remain under bearish pressure this week and are still within the same sideways range that we've seen for 2 months. The Dakotas and Nebraska received beneficial rains this week, but not much came south of Nebraska. Oklahoma and Texas are expecting moderate rain amounts Saturday, but more widespread precipitation is expected in the 6 to 14-day forecast, that with above-normal temperatures throughout the central U.S. That's a look at markets on AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra for the American Ag Network.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for sticking with us here on AOA today, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime's a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more online. Just go to Cenex.com. Well, as we're wrapping up the week in the markets, we have plenty going on to talk about and discuss here today on AOA. Joining us now, Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. Arlen, welcome back to AOA. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. It's spring. Planting is in the air. You can almost smell the diesel in the freshly tilled soil. You got that planting fever starting to spread across the Midwest, although it's a little chilly right now, and we need to see these temperatures warm up again.
Yeah, I think we might see some of those planters parked here the next couple of days with those chilly temperatures and all the rain that we've gotten here the last couple of days as well in some parts of the Corn Belt, Arlen. I know, though, some of that rain gonna be very beneficial as we got some pretty dry pockets here in the Corn Belt that I think maybe not necessarily getting talked about as much in the trade, just with all of that spring planting fever overall that's kind of out there right now, Arlen.
Yeah, dryness speeds up the planting, and that generally is seen as favorable by the markets until it's not. We've had some good moisture and really eroded away the deficits in the soil moisture profiles across much of the Midwest. Now, the dryness that you mentioned has been focused more on the southwestern Midwest, southwestern Corn Belt, kind of from parts of Iowa down into Missouri and into Kansas. We've had some more rain over Missouri and Iowa here of late, including some tornadic and storms and some hail. We don't need that. Kansas has largely missed out, and that's been a problem for the hard red winter wheat crop. We've seen deteriorating conditions there for that crop here in recent days and weeks for Kansas, eastern Colorado, and parts of Oklahoma. That's provided a little bit of support for the wheat market. But overall, we need more rain in that southwestern area. The forecast keeps holding out hope that we may get that as we go forward. It's very critical that we do so because our risks of dryness this summer as we transition from an El Nino to a La Nina are elevated. That doesn't mean we're going to have a Midwest drought this summer. It just means the risks are elevated. And we'd like to mitigate that risk somewhat by filling that soil moisture profile.
Yeah, it's that time of year where these markets start to shift that conversation more so to weather, barring other news to drive the trade. Well, we do have a little bit of other news that drove the overnight trade, Arlen. Israel, Iran, tensions increasing between the two countries again with an Israeli strike in central Iran. I know things spiked overnight. We kind of calmed it into Friday's session. But I know that geopolitical tension is definitely something that has to be watched in these markets.
It definitely does. Now, if you just got up this morning, looked at the markets, did not listen to news, you'd think nothing happened in the world overnight. But it certainly did, and the markets got pretty exciting for a while overnight for about 3 hours. Is we did see Israel retaliate. It depends on who side of the story you want to believe. In fact, I've seen reports, two different reports from inside of Iran, saying one of them saying that significant damage was done to a military site there deep inside of western Iran. Another saying that the three drones sent from Israel were intercepted, no damage was done. But what official Iranian news indicated was that there was an infiltration there at the military base, making it sound like it was an internal matter. It was dealt with. No further actions are needed. No damage done. All is well. And that is what calmed the markets, because what that communicated, and Israel said virtually nothing. They just had one little tweet on X, formerly Twitter, from one of their officials with one word saying feeble. But otherwise, it really makes it look like, okay, this is done for now, and indicates Iran does not want a war with Israel that could spread into something with the United States. And we're largely allowing crude oil to move out of Iran right now. We're not enforcing the sanctions. And so, therefore, it would like to keep things status quo because it can therefore use that money to support the proxy war, and it can do more damage through its proxy groups and not have to be in a direct war with Israel and the United States that it might lose. So that kind of calmed down the markets overnight then, thinking, okay, maybe this will not spread into something that obviously would be a big drag on the global economy, might be inflationary, might cause damage to oil production and or export infrastructure. And so things calming down. Still, the tension is there. Things are still escalating in the Middle East, but more focused on that Gaza Strip conflict than a more regional conflict right now.
We are talking markets with Arlen Suderman from StoneX here on AOA. Arlen, with these grain markets, outside of headline risks, again, we talked about it, we're kind of shifting focus to weather. We've kind of been in that downtrend, range-bound here at a lot of these grain markets, and just feels like that barring some bullish type of news to drive us in one of these grain markets or all three, just feels like we're kind of stuck range bound here, and maybe, you know, basis might have to do some heavy lifting. I don't know. It feels like these markets are kind of stuck on the grains right now.
Yeah. Wheat's getting some support from the deteriorating conditions in the plains for the hard red crop. We're also watching dryness in southern Russia, which is its most productive area, that right now the crop looks okay, starting to see a little bit of stress. If that continues, that could become more of a story. Because right now what's capping gains on the market is the fact that the Black Sea continues to ship a lot of cheap wheat onto the world market. if we see that Russian crop threatened, then that changes the story, because all of a sudden we look at the rest of the exporting countries of the world and we're looking at smaller crops, we're looking at shrinking global supplies, and suddenly the market would change its focus. That's a big if, but that is a significant if. On the corn and soybeans, it's a different story. The more bearish right now, we look at soybeans, where we're seeing Brazil continue to eat into market share there. Brazil is expected to export over 500 million bushels of soybeans this month alone. And if you look at China commitments to buy U.S. soybeans during the current marketing year, it started September 1, it totaled 848.5 million bushels. That's down from 1.145 billion bushels the previous year at the same point. That's a decline of 266 million bushels of sales to China in the same period. Brazil has sold them more than that, has seen its increase more than that. Total commitments to all destinations are down 344 million bushels as Brazil continues to take global market share. And right now, Brazil's finishing up, wrapping up harvest of a big crop, with Argentina about ready to start harvesting a big crop. So soybeans face the most bearish fundamentals right now. I do think USDA is understating its crush estimate by 35 to 50 million bushels, but that still doesn't justify rationing demand with higher prices because we have adequate stocks now. On the corn side, you know, we still have 2.1 billion bushel surplus of corn. We look at the coming year, we're going to cut our acreage, but it's still going to be adequate to meet demand if there's no weather problem. But we do have some escalated risks of drought. South America, looking at a big crop, but Brazil's crop is slowly shrinking. Argentina's crop is slowly shrinking because Argentina has a leafhopper spreading disease in their crop. So far, no evidence that we're shrinking that South American crop enough to justify shrinking our stocks down to about 1.5 billion bushels that is needed to really start getting the market excited. But we're keeping our eyes on it. When you look at that potential plus the elevated drought risk this summer, providing a little bit of support. But the problem is soybeans are dragging on corn and dragging it lower. And that's what the concern is, that we could retest those late February, early March lows.
Arlen, we have just a little over a minute here. I want to ask you, in the livestock trade, we should touch on cattle and hogs. I know waiting on a cattle on feed report Friday afternoon. We've seen plenty of volatility in the protein sector as of late. Any big notes for us here in cattle or hogs today?
Yeah, the big cattle on feed report coming out this afternoon. No cash trade yet this week. Essentially, packers looking steady. Feeders want a couple dollars more, but it really comes down to this afternoon's numbers. We have seen some eroding of that beef demand moving down the value chain to pork. That's supporting pork, but not the cattle market.
And real quick, too, I still got a minute here. There's rumors on social media about the summertime E15 waiver getting announced on Friday. I haven't seen that as of Friday morning. You think that could have any impact on these markets at all, Arlen?
Yeah, Reuters released a story yesterday afternoon stating that that would happen. Provides a little bit of underlying support. Overall, it's more psychological than it is actually volume. It does help rather than hurt. We'd like to see it happen from a demand standpoint. But overall, we'd like to see that more permanent, not temporary.
Yeah, well, we will follow the headlines, see if we get some news on that here. And always, you know, we never talk about where our conversation's going to go ahead of time, but always insightful, and appreciate the time. Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joining us here on AOA. Arlen, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Look forward to it.
Arlen Suderman with StoneX joining us here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Not all grease created equal. Cenex Premium Greases are made with those high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll take a look at news on the way right after this.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to new discoveries and new treatments and ultimately, one day, victory over cancer. Give to the V Foundation. Right now, one out of every two men and one out of every three women will get cancer in their lifetime. Now is your moment. You may save someone you love. 100% of your donation goes directly to game-changing research. 100%. Donate at V.org. Because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes, and Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families, and it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed, and we feel it, and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Mackenzie Smith, an agronomy products expert with CHS, offers crop nutrition strategies to propel early plant growth. Why is it important to have the right nutrients available as crops get established?
One thing that comes to my mind right away when I'm asked that question is the four R's, which is the right source, right rate, right time, and right place. This is a really solid foundation for a fertility plan. Starter fertilizers at the right rates allow us to put fertility safely in the root zone and is available at the most crucial time, which we know is establishment.
What do you look for in an effective starter fertilizer?
10-34-0 obviously comes to mind. And then products like Accelerate, which is a 7-23-5. Those are both great options, but lack micronutrients like zinc. If you are using these commonly used products, one thing I would recommend adding into your tank is a product like Levisol ZN. And what that will do, it really helps allow zinc, phosphorus, and other micronutrients that are already present in your soil more available. Enhances nutrient availability, speed of emergence, and really overall plant health. And then if you're looking for a best option, a kind of one product that fits and checks all those boxes, I'd recommend a product like Lumen. And Lumen is a premium, low-salt starter fertilizer. The formulation on that is a 5-15-3, and it also includes our Levisol chelate.
Well, where can growers learn more about how to build starter fertilizer into their crop plans?
CHS Agronomy has a great website, chsagronomy.com. You can go on there, look at our whole portfolio of products. I would also recommend, obviously, working with your local retailers and sales agronomists.
Mackenzie, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
All right, welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex, where the temperature goes down like it can here over the next couple of days with frost and freeze warnings. Well, your equipment can go down too. Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel, built with a balanced additive package to keep equipment moving. Learn more. Just visit your nearest Cenex location or go online to cenex.com. Well, over this past week, there has been some pretty interesting conversations happening on Capitol Hill with the Senate Finance Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee, with hearings with U.S. Trade Ambassador Catherine Tai. Very pointed attacks about the lack of trade deals by this current administration, the Biden administration. And I know that a lot of folks are not happy with the current state of trade deals and more, especially for agriculture. Now, USDA Alexis Taylor, Undersecretary at USDA, is taking a trade envoy to India here over the next few days. India, a huge potential opportunity there for U.S. agriculture. But I will say this, folks who think India is going to be the next China in that regard, I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit here, back up. I don't foresee that being the case. It's a good opportunity. India, such a massive country with a massive population, but I don't think it's going to be the next China boom for U.S. agriculture. So I'll put that on the table. But still, it's something, but there's still just really nothing being done in regards to new trade deals. Well, Finance Committee senators of both parties stepped up attacks on the White House's trade policy, or some said the lack of one, especially in agriculture here this past week. Finance Chair Ron Wyden of Oregon, top panel Republican Mike Crapo, both launched a fusillade of criticism at Biden Trade Chief Catherine Tai on a lack of trade enforcement, and Crapo said this on refusing to do trade deals.
Australia and New Zealand each negotiated free trade agreements with Thailand. And since then, demand for premium U.S. beef fell by 30% because our cattlemen face a 50% tariff while those two partners face none.
Senate Ag Chair Democrat Debbie Stabenow of Michigan was more muted but echoed a similar call for free trade deals.
I know there are a number of agriculture stakeholders that sent you a letter earlier this week urging you to commit to an aggressive agriculture trade agenda. So important that we have those markets. We need those markets, and we need the trade agreements.
Republicans, as expected, were much harder on time. Texas's John Cornyn said he had to do a double take on the hearing's title.
I really think it would be more accurate to say the president's 2024 non-trade policy agenda.
A point Oklahoma's James Langford made more subtly in this exchange with Ambassador Tai on her efforts for farmers.
We are working for them every single day, and we are scoring wins for them without having to do the long negotiations in a free trade agreement. So the short answer, to be responsive to you, is no, we're not doing the big comprehensive agreements that are really great for ag and terrible for our industries, but we are nevertheless securing wins, $21 billion over the last three years.
The challenge of that is when it's not an FTA, there's no certainty on it, and that executive agreements come and go with administrations.
Now, Tai, early in her tenure, called FTAs an outdated 20th century tool. She now more openly underscores the political importance to the president of organized labor, stating, quote, "We don't want to play Americans against Americans or sectors against sectors," end quote. Now, also talked about here this past week, the still unresolved dispute with Mexico over its limits on GM corn. It made for a tense exchange between a Nebraska GOP lawmaker and U.S. Trade Rep Catherine Tai at a House Ways and Means hearing. Adrian Smith didn't mince words with Biden's trade chief, Tai, after she confirmed that Biden was briefed on the USMCA dispute case against Mexico's phase out of U.S. yellow feed corn and ban on GM white corn for human use.
My research shows that the president has had exactly nothing to say about what's taking place. That's disappointing. It would lead most reasonable people to believe that it's not a priority. It doesn't matter.
Smith accused the White House of giving Mexico a quote-unquote pass on corn.
The filing for the dispute resolution was roughly 2 years after the decree, the flagrant violation of USMCA, was made. And I'm concerned that our president has had exactly nothing to say. Is there a downside to our president speaking up and saying that what Mexico is doing with our corn is wrong?
And here was Ty's response.
Mr. Smith, I am the U.S. trade representative in President Biden's cabinet, and I am here to talk about the president's trade policy agenda today. And I'm telling you that we are actively pursuing litigation with Mexico using the tools of the USMCA precisely to address what we consider to be an illegitimate and unscientifically based restriction on our trade in biotech corn to Mexico.
But Smith told Ty her response meant that President Biden chose to stay silent, and he didn't accept that as being concerned about Mexico's restrictions on U.S. GM corn. So again, a lot of pointed attacks against the Biden administration this past week and Ambassador Ty. And I will say again, I don't know what is going on here in terms of a lack of new trade deals and trade deal enforcement, but something's got to be done. That's a critical avenue. We know that China's going more to South America. The U.S. has got some voids to fill. So why are we filling those voids? Our farmers here in the U.S. are, I mean, we're good at what we do. We are able to grow great crops, large crops that, quite frankly, a lot of other countries, they want to have those crops in many cases. So why aren't we having more trade deals done? Well, I shake my head. Something that who knows what is going to happen. It's kind of like some of the back and forth in the House, for instance, and the talk of possibly removing Speaker Johnson. What are we doing? I don't know what we're doing, and it's quite frustrating in many, many cases. All right, with that, we are getting up against the clock. I was going to take a look at some other news headlines, but we are unfortunately out of time here on AOA today. Brought to you by Cenex. Extreme cold temperatures put your vehicles to the test. Cenex premium lubricants are made with quality ingredients to keep you going. Learn more online. Just go to cenex.com. Coming up on the next AOA, we'll talk markets with Darren Newsom from Bar Chart, weather with DTN meteorologist John Baranek, and we'll discuss the use of artificial intelligence, AI, on the farm with Kit Barron from FBN. We're out of time. Thanks for joining us on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're caring for one of the 16 million Americans living with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, you probably have many questions. COPD makes it harder to breathe and worsens over time. As a caregiver, you may juggle many roles. Being connected to the right resources can help. That's why the Learn More, Breathe Better program and Respiratory Health Association created the COPD Caregivers Toolkit. This free toolkit will help you better understand the disease, prepare for doctor's appointments, navigate home life changes, help after a COPD flare-up, and stay mentally and physically healthy through it all. Help your loved one live better with COPD. Visit nhlbi.nih.gov/COPD-caregivers.